chest before we start. Now's the time. All right. Good morning, everybody. How are you? Okay. Good. Good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time that we have right now this morning to grow, to learn with an intent to grow, to know you better through your word. Thank you for the Spirit. Your Spirit works in us, brings call to change, conviction. Thank you for grace, for forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. Bless our time this morning, and as we talk about this key time, preschool, that we would be an encouragement and help to one another and benefit from our time for your glory. We pray this in Christ's name. Everybody said? Amen. All right. Page 73, at the same time, turn your Bible over to that classic passage in Deuteronomy 6. Okay? So we'll have both ready. The preschooler. Key time in your relationship with your child, with your children. Page 73 in the book. If we had Faith Partner Bibles, I could say what page of the Bible. All right, first paragraph. By the time a child reaches the age of 4 or 5, or even 6, really, preschool, there is usually considerable growth physically and in maturity. Most preschoolers are much more trustworthy than a toddler, even though parents must still take care to watch their children. Preschoolers can usually play unsupervised for a time. They can also be much more helpful to others. One mother expressed it this way: he has now become a real person. I thought that was so good. I want to express state a couple of words that I think, among others, that kind of mark this key time. This isn't your notes. I just want you to think about it with me for a moment. If I would summarize the 3 to 5 or the 3 to 6 preschool age, I would characterize it, first of all, as the best word I could come up with would be capability. That's why I want to read that paragraph. There is such now a great capacity. Maybe I could say it this way. The things that the toddler thought he could do, now this preschooler is much more able to do them. Remember I told you that story about one of our children struggling to put their coat on by themselves and said, I do it myself in it, you know, didn't want the help. Well, now they're much more capable. So I would use the word capability. There's a great capacity now, increased even capacity, to know and do so many things and take in so much truth and information, who we are, where we came from, who we belong to, why we live the way that we do live as a Christian family. And then they have a million questions, and we're conveying our convictions based upon the scripture. So I'd say a great capability both to do and to know. One of my grandsons, maybe I've mentioned this before, but as we were in the truck together going somewhere, all of a sudden he was asking me different things. He stopped and he said, Grandpa, I got a million questions. And I just said, that's great. I got questions too. Bring them on. Another key concept, I would say, not only in addition to capability, I would say this is also a key time, another C word, of cultivating. And that it is cultivating, you're continuing to cultivate a tender heart. And now, a tender heart for God. Now, you're doing that with a toddler, but really bringing this thing to bear. By the way, I just wrote that. How many know that Judy Rogers, her music or whatever? Yeah. Teach me while my heart is tender, tell me all that I should know. And even through the years, I will remember no matter where I go. And so you're cultivating a tender heart for God by your modeling a genuine love for God yourself and an awe for God, and continuing to impress upon this preschooler as your a main model and teacher in their life at this time that there is nothing and there is no one like God. He is so great. And remember in our classic passage, Deuteronomy 6, you remember this, we bring it to bear all the time in terms of the Lord conveying to Israel. So remember, their Lord our God, there is one. And verse 5, Jesus summarized all the commandments this way, the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? Then these words, I'm commanding you, shall be on your hearts, parents. And then he says, verse 7, teach them diligently to your sons, and to talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Or in other words, what? All the time. And I love the way that Jay Adams, first time Deborah and I heard that, I love the way Jay Adams states that in saying, make God the environment of your child. That is, to bring God into and help him see God in everything. For he is. Amen? He is. So, just cultivate. Deborah?
Your statement, cultivating a tender heart for God. Having been raised in a Roman Catholic, there is a statement, give us a child till he's 6 years old and we will have him for life. And that is false doctrine that they're being taught. And we shortchange what that preschooler is capable of learning about God and understanding about God, and we fail to cultivate that.
Amen. Thanks. Now there's some other things toward the bottom of the page here that I want to convey are key times. But just getting started, those are a couple of key aspects of this particular time that we have with the child. So I want to ask you then, in light of this, as a preschool stage, no matter how you go to school, okay, we can talk about that for weeks, but I'm not going to talk about that, okay, but no matter how you determined that you're going to school, even if you homeschool, while you still have that major impact, they're going to have other teachers, right? They're going to have other teachers as well. So I want to ask you, how is this age or time uniquely significant for you and your child? How is this time unique? And my answer to that, maybe it's an obvious one, but my answer to that is that when they start school, whether that be in a home school, or whether that be the Christian school, or whether that be the public school, whatever, their world expands in a major way. And others get time with them prior to the school. You were the key person. You had the bulk of the time. And now other voices and impact of other kids in a greater way. You with me on this? So this kind of, all of a sudden the world broadens, and I asked this morning, and I got the name right. Our Greta is in her 40s. I can still remember the name. Now, we sent her off in kindergarten to Christian school, right? Well, whether or not we do that again, I don't know. You know, you do things over again, you think through them or see things differently. But she went off to Christian school in kindergarten, and I could remember after all these years, because I checked with Deborah this morning, I could remember Miss Teed was her teacher. And all of a sudden in our little girl's life, there was God, there was his son Jesus, there's the 12 apostles, there's Miss Teed, and mom and dad. Okay, it was like, oh, but Miss Teed, you know what I'm saying? That all of a sudden, all these other impressions and key people, I'm not saying it's bad, you know, not saying it's bad, but I'm just saying the world broadens. So now you treasure this time, this preschool time, because you're the key person at that time in a unique way. Man, I hope you never stop being the key person as a dad and mom, because we never stop parenting and we never want to stop having that influence. But would you agree with me that it broadens then and it changes? Amen? So it is key time. Then it causes us to stop and say, all right, then let us redeem the time now, right now. Okay, page 74. 74. Top of the page, second paragraph. This age group is delightful to teach if, circle if, okay, circle if, I'm just having fun there. You can go ahead and laugh with me when I'm having fun. Okay. This age group is delightful to teach if they have learned to be attentive and to listen. They should, by now, be coming to the point of gracious first-time obedience. All that work in that toddler stage. Now, we're teaching other things as well, but we got a main thing going on. Talked about last week. And what is that? You must obey mommy. You must obey daddy. You must obey. And so, having caught number one, this gracious first-time obedience, I just pulled that out of the book there, having read that paragraph. Now, having caught, and I want you to remember this word, the blessing of obedience. See, obedience is a blessing. If you obey me, I will what? I'll bless you, right? You say, well, that's just quoting law. But wait a minute. You go to the passage in our book of Ephesians. Turn over there. Our key passage, right? Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. What is the promise? So that it may be well with you. The way of the transgressor is what? Hard, right? So, obedience, we're communicating to our toddler continually. This is right. This is good. Mom and daddy seek to obey and please God. You must as well. So we've done our work there, and we've taught them now the blessing of listening to mom and listening to dad. Not from your counting, remember? Not from your counting. By the time I get to 19, you better, you know. Not from your visible anger. Okay, I better obey now because dad's about to explode. Not from your yelling. Not from your repeating. Not from your pleading. Not from your begging. And not from your bargaining. But from your word. And that your word means something to them because it means something to you. And preparing them to respond properly to your word in obedience prepares a heart for responding a more important word than your word, which is God's word. Amen? So big deal on this. Big deal. Second bullet point, here's another reason why. Obedience sets the stage for listening and learning. Why are they going to heed you, the things that you want to teach them, if you've not taught them to obey you? So one leads to the other. One leads to the other. So key time. Just a key time. Now is that little guy, little gal is just respond. And by the way, when they respond and obey, we just love the daylights out of them. Mark it down somewhere. Maybe I have it later, but mark it down in your mind right now. You will never encourage your child too much. You will never encourage your child too much. I think I might have that on page 2. But for right now, mark that, tattoo that in your mind right now. I will never encourage my child too much. If I could do over, that would be one of the top 3 in my life. In my life. I was very, I told you that before, very behavior focused. And expected it and didn't need to encourage him for it, so forth. Okay, so growing and learning at a rapid rate at this time is another key aspect. I just want to read another statement here from the book. I thought these were helpful ones without reading the whole book. Right page. Yes. Read 74B, Kevin. Okay, I will do that. So, oh, yeah, developmental milestones. Somebody else read that section, if you would. Somebody read it real loud in the back. Luke, please.
4 and 5-year-olds can be taught to dial 911 in an emergency. They can also answer the phone. This can be good news or bad news.
Yes.
They can learn good manners, and instead of demanding their way, they can be taught to say please and thank you. They can learn to ask permission. One preschooler whose family stayed with the Peace family for one night on their way to a Florida vacation asked politely several times about different toys. Mrs. Peace, may I borrow this? The way he expressed himself reminded Martha of the verse that says, in sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Proverbs 16:21. Preschoolers can play age-appropriate games with others and listen to stories without grabbing the pages and turning 10 at a time, and they proudly know all their external body parts. A 4 or 5-year-old can usually blow his nose, which, by the way, is a happy day for his parents.
Amen.
4 or 5-year-olds can usually dress themselves and brush their teeth with some help. They know the difference between big and little and know some colors and shapes. They can cut with scissors, whether cutting paper or a sister's hair. They're becoming much more coordinated in kicking and throwing balls, buttoning their shirts, and tying their shoes. They can breeze past on a tricycle or a bicycle with training wheels. A preschooler is growing and learning at a rapid rate. They truly are real people now.
Yeah. Amen to all that. Yes. All right. Growing and learning at a rapid rate. Bullet point. This is a key time of character development. Character development. Just like the things that he mentioned in the chapter. Learning things like learning manners. Learning manners. Catherine is not in here this morning. Normally she is. Okay, I want to talk about Luke and Catherine, okay? How old is Willow?
4.
4. I have never heard her speak. And she always looks real serious. You know little Willow? Just, you know? Brock was actually made a statement in our prayer time this morning. He was bragging one of our teachers because Willow was showing him a fish on a string. They were talking about Jonah or something. And then Becky Masters went by her to leave, and she turned to Mrs. Masters, little Willow, and said, "Thank you for teaching me this morning. Have a good day." And Brock said he nearly fell off the chair in the floor. Not just the politeness, but also little gal that you hardly hear ever. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Listen, you go to a restaurant with a preschooler and a waitress waits on you, puts the food down there, and your child looks at them and says, "Thank you." She may fall on the floor right there with reference to it. What's the deal with this child, you know? I mean, manners, I always think about when you have somebody that responds to me and they say, "Yes, sir." "No, sir." I always think one of two things. Either they've been in the military or they came from the South. The South is big on that, you know. Now, you know, I'm speaking in general terms. But manners, showing respect for others. Turn to Ephesians, Philippians. These are clear, well-known passages. But I double dog dare you. Now, that's a serious dare. Regular dare is just I dare you. Double dog that's a real serious dare, okay? I double dog dare you to memorize Philippians 2, 3, and 4 with your children. In fact, if you get Philippians 2, 3, and 4, and you memorize that with your children, I'll buy Jack's Donuts for the class, okay? But can you think of anything? Now, and it rings true. I mean, a child can get this. Philippians 2, 3 of Philippians. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And if you mark in your Bible, you put above the passage, others first. Others first.
I thought you were
going to
say donuts.
Oh, okay. Others first equals donuts, okay, if you want to do that. Right? Others first. They can get that. What do you want to teach more than that? Teach them to serve. Polite, asking, please, thank you. Manners. So important. By the way, again, More caught than taught. Check. More caught than taught. But it's a key time of developing this in our child's life. Second, under learning, responsibility. Learning responsibility. That means you have to be patient. Because if they're developing responsibility, they're going to blow it and forget various things. Okay? So then we have to be patient. We're not running a military school, are we? That's why we have pets. No, we don't. But many of you do. And they can learn to care for a pet, right? Or picking up things, you know? We get the 62,000 Legos out. Then we got to what? We got to pick them up, right? So all those kinds of things. Can I do a when I was a boy? Can I do when I was a boy? One of those? Is that all right? Just one, this one per week when I was a boy? When I was a boy, we talked about chores. And kids had chores. In fact, when I was in high school, we were never sure who was going to get to be able to play ball and so forth, because a lot of guys lived on farm. I grew up in Wisconsin, farming community. And so a lot of guys worked on farms and stuff. So they didn't know. They had chores morning and evening. Morning before they went to school, a lot of them. Evening, you know, after they got back. You're going to be able to come to basketball practice? I don't know if Dad's going to be able to let me in on that. I got to do chores. We talked about chores. Learning responsibility. And as we have sons, may I say, as we have sons, learning to work. And reminding our children that God instituted work before the fall for the good of man. So work is a good thing. Everybody say it with me. Work is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a gift from God. Deborah, repeat after me. For me, work is a good...
Thank you for vacuuming.
You're welcome, dear. Yes, I've been assigned vacuuming. Where is that in the Bible? I'm asking you right now. Okay? Responsibility. Raking... What do I have after me? Rake in the backyard. Fall's coming. How many got 10,000 leaves or whatever? Develop that responsibility by working together as a family. Working together. So mom and dad are in on that with them likewise. Picking up the plates, you know, following the meal. And I've said about this, but is that not important? Pets, chores, picking up, so forth. Third, things that they're learning, character development, is I just mentioned the Philippians passage, serving. Mark 10:35, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. So serving others. Teaching our children, turn to the book of James, real religion, not the pretend stuff, but the real religion, James. Thing is, James chapter 1, verse 27. James 1, 27. Learning about real religion. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and our Father is this. Everybody finish it with me. To visit orphans and widows in their distress. Keep oneself unstained by the world. Okay, we're going to bake some cookies and we're going to go to a couple of widows' homes. Serving. You get it?
Yep.
That might have been the one that was oppressing me, so I'll say thank you for that. Okay? Acts 20:35. Come on, you can quote it. He's quoting Jesus. Jesus said, it's more blessed to... Well, I want to tell you something. That's not my life verse. Really. I'm a very selfish person. I have to work others, being a giver. I have the gift of receiving. Okay? others, being a good giver. Oh, man. And so your child wants to give, wants to share. Praise them. Commend them for that. Because that is if that happens, that's God working in that little heart. That's not natural, is it? One more here. We could list 30 or whatever, but one more. Honesty. Honesty. Proverbs 8:13 says God hates lying. God hates that. That's wicked. Lying is wicked. So our family, because we want to please God, is that we tell the truth. We tell the truth. And it will. There will be times, very likely, your child. And when their child chooses to come clean on the truth in a situation where they didn't, it was going to be hard for them, but they come clean with you on the truth, oh my, thank them. Thank them for doing that. But emphasizing, we speak the truth. The Christian is a truth teller. So these are just examples, but in fact, I put another sheet down there. You have to have all 16 of these things totally ingrained in your child by next week, all right? But just look at the kinds of things we're working on. Obedience, enough said about that. Respect for authority. That's not needed in our world today, is it? And we're teaching them truth. Doctrine is truth. Convictions. In a situation where they say, well, I realize that was wrong, Mom, Dad. I came home, you know. Stewardship. God entrusts us with things, but He owns everything. Serving others, there it is. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. Decision making. Daily time with the Lord. Oh my, now at the end of this preschool thing, now they're starting to learn how to read. Or maybe before. You know, maybe they've learned at home to read, but now they can read what? God's Word. Now this is a big deal. I have another bugaboo. This isn't when I was a boy. This is just a bugaboo. Okay, can I share this? Bible's not a toy. We get the little pocket thing for the kid, and he, you know, brings it. Ah, isn't it cute? No, it's not a toy. Teach your child, oh, now you're learning to read. Now you're going to have your own Bible and be able to read God's Word. Right? That's our view of God, our view of the Bible. So, thanks for letting me just say that, okay? Contentment, discernment, so forth. Things that we're working on. Character, okay, how we doing? Number, second under number two. This is also a key time. Remember I talked about capability and cultivating. Now character, notice the alliteration. Okay. It's gone now, the next bullet point. This is also a key time of getting wisdom from you, from God, from you, from God's Word. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not, you know, right? That's why under learning scripture, that's under this is a key time of getting wisdom, learning the scriptures. Psalm 56:3, here's one to teach to your child. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Oh, isn't that a good one? And you can do this. You can memorize scripture. You ever play the memory game where you have cards, the two things match, and then you turn them down and you try to match them? You play the memory game with a five-year-old, they will clean your clock. You're trying to remember what color. I'm serious. You play that with a five-year-old. Their memory. What does that tell me? Man, could they memorize scripture? You don't need to have an hour class for that. Just do it at the table. You know? Here we're working on this one. We'll repeat that. This Psalm 56:3 during the week. So wisdom, learning the scriptures, learning the gospel. Learning the gospel. I had some other verses here that I... Oh, let's turn to the Proverbs for a few moments. Proverbs. Psalm Proverbs. Yes. Chapter 20. Proverbs 20, 11. Wisdom. 20:11. It is by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself if his conduct is pure and right. Isn't that good? 20:11. I have a friend that said his mom preached Proverbs 22:1 to him every day, And so he had that one in his mind his whole life. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver. A good name. She was always emphasizing your name, your testimony, your decisions. 13:1. Why did I have that marked? 13:1. Thanks for bouncing around with me. Oh, here we go. Yep. A wise son accepts a father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to him. You're just relating getting wisdom. Chapter 15, verse 20. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Just where are they going to get wisdom? From the word, but who? From you. From you. So we're coming back to the word. 23:19, one more. 23:19. Proverbs. Oh, yeah. Mike, read that one real loud. 23:19.
Listen, my son.
Say it plural there, because you got more than one boy. Okay, go ahead.
Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Now turn back to the very first chapter. Very first chapter. Scripture, gospel. This is a key time of getting wisdom. The scriptures, learning the Bible. The gospel, we've talked about that many times. Good news about Christ. For sinners, every discipline is an opportunity for the gospel. And then discernment, a third one, discernment. That's why I'm having us turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Where are we going to get discernment? Discernment has to do with making right choices. Making right choices. Chapter 1, verse 8. 1:8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners enticed you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie and wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive and Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious wealth. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in their way with them. Keep your feet from their path. And their feet run to evil and they hasten to shed blood. You're just seeing crying. No, don't go there. Make a right choice. Learning discernment. Discernment also has to do with this, with choosing between not only what's good, but what is best. And seeing what's kind of underneath what is being said. Oh, that's so important. But we get that from the word. And then another one that's this is a key time getting wisdom, is to help our child see God at work in their lives. To see God at work in their lives. We prayed for such and such, and she's doing better. God answered prayer. You know, see God working. I asked God to help me. I was afraid, and I asked God to help me, and he helped me. Yes, yes, yes. So, next page. So, kind of like a summary here. Grab hold of every opportunity to instruct or to teach, right? Every opportunity. Create conversations by asking lots of questions to your children. I mean, you're doing right up through the teen years, you're doing this. And make it a family question. We're going to go home, and there's this, they've got a funeral, but it's in a bad church. It's not good. And this, should we go? But should we still go? You talk through things like that. I realize that's not for a preschooler, but you're asking them questions. Wait a minute, what about this? Should we do this or should we do this? What do you think? How can we please God in this situation? Then we're not just preaching, but we're teaching by what? Q&A, by Q&A, right? So we got lots of examples here. As a family, though, we're cultivating their thinking with asking lots of questions. So what about passing an accident on the highway? Is that an opportunity to teach? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about a rain canceled a trip to the park? What could we teach there? Listen to Proverbs, and then you tell me the doctrine, okay? I'm going to read the passage. You tell me the truth. We would usually try to catch a trip to the parks, you know, different times. And lots of times the Lord, one way or another, changed our plans. Many plans are in a man's heart, 1921, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. We make plans. That's why James says, we say what? If the Lord wills, we would do such and such, right? So when rain cancels a trip to the park, what can we teach them about God? Tell me.
God's sovereignty.
Say it real loud.
God's sovereignty.
You win the first donut if and when we have them. Okay? Sovereignty. Yeah, he's in control. God's in control, right? We'll trust him. He rules. Where babies come from. If you're a dad, tell them go ask their mom. Check. Right? Yeah. But conversations there. Hey, dads, got sons or moms, daughters? Where do you want your child to learn about sex?
Me.
Yeah, yeah. Locker room at school? You know, online? Or from you? So when they ask those questions, thank them. Thank them. Not come to go to somebody else or another kid, but to you about those questions that they have many questions about, especially. And then I don't have it here, but before we get into the reminders, we'll time this out. Thank good this morning. Teach them how special is the church. That's where we go. That's where we go to hear God preached. That's where we go and we get together with other people, love Jesus. That's where it's special. Yeah, love the church. Love the church. And there are plenty of reasons to have a bad attitude about the church, because church is filled with people. Check. So we better keep Christ on the top shelf. We love Jesus supremely. That's why we love the church. The guy that discipled me used to say he was a Christian, not because of Christians, but because of Christ. Now that maybe sound kind of harsh, but it can be true, right? So our children especially enter into school, and that 12 into the early teens, man, they are professional sliver pickers. They can spot phoniness, you know, why does it everywhere else? And we need to bring it right back to them and their relationship with the Lord and remind them that we're all good sinners. So teach them how special is the church and to hear God's word. Okay, reminders. I just pulled out a paragraph from the chapter there, but he talks about springboards and seed planters. Springboards, opportunities for the gospel. Seed planters, we're just planting the seed of the word all the time, just like we do in evangelism. We're constantly talking about what God says, right? Number two, the family that, what?
Praise
together.
Together.
Praise together? Okay. How about plays together? How about grows together? You know, I don't have a Bible verse for any of that, but that's all true, isn't it? Together, family, as a family. Now, if you have a needle, prick the end of your finger, because I want you to write one in blood. Okay? Make memories together. Now, that may be ways you never planned. That might be, what was that you rented, a Winnebago, or what was that thing? Travel trailer?
The RV,
yeah. Yeah. Would you ever do it again with the kids?
Yeah.
Yeah? You hesitated, though, didn't you? Right? But I'm...
I was like, what were we thinking?
Yeah, that's right.
They're
going to remember too. I'm sure of it. They're going to have some memories from it. Yeah, that might be difficult memories too. But real quick example of a memory of our kids. We were heading to Milwaukee. Maybe visiting some family. I don't remember what it was. But we were going to make it special in that we're going to spend a night in a hotel and make sure they had a pool so the kids could swim and everything. Isaiah was quite little at that time, but he was probably preschool, as a matter of fact. And the other three girls were having fun, but were driving me crazy in the car. And I was getting upset with them. But I didn't want to spoil our time, because we were gonna make it fun. I spent a night at a hotel. I get to swim, yada yada. You know, but they're driving me crazy. I got a headache, and so I was so upset by the time we got there. So I took each one of the girls. I thought, okay, I want to deal with this, but I don't want to make it really bad. So I had each one of the girls. I had them stand in a corner of the hotel room and put their nose in the corner. And little Isaiah, and the girls always remember this, he said, "Daddy, why can't I have a corner and have my nose?" And he was robbed, you know? A crazy memory, but they remember that. They remember that. Make not that kind of memories, but make memories. Amen? Number three, you never encourage your child too much. Spoke about that. Proverbs 15:23 talks about a timely word. Timely word. Don't forget that. Four, often the most valuable gift you'll give to your child is your money. No, don't write that. Is your time. Is your time. Daddy, play with me. Daddy, you play a game with me? Mom, will you play with me? Huh? Your time. Your time. Five, let your preschool enjoy life's adventures. Read what he says on page 81. It's a nice summary there. Life's full of adventures for that child. We used to go, well, I take the child. I'm not bragging. I'm just memories with me. We used to call them adventure rides. Where are we going, Dad? I don't know. Get on your bike. Here we go. You know, stop somewhere. Maybe get fries. You know, whatever. Go for a good bike ride. Adventures. Six, your child loves stories. I'm tempted to spend all next week on this, but we can't, to keep working through the book. And the Bible, particularly those history sections, is filled with stories. Good ones and bad ones are for our warning. Good ones are for encouragement. Like the braggy king of Babylon. Boy, he got up here and then he's bragging, right? Remember the book, Deb? We wore that one out. Number seven, bedtime can be a special time for you and your child. And those little pumpkins, if God took you out of their life, would they remember mom praying over them, dad praying over them when you put them down at night? God, do a work in my child. Grow in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. Help them, praying for them. Special time at night, whatever else. So, redeem the time, treasure the God-given privilege you have, preschool time, with to be a parent. To be a parent. Life is a vapor. Amen? So let's pray. Well, Father, thank you for the good chapter to cause us to focus on this time. Some have little ones entering into it. Others are in it right now. And some of the people here, you got a child, son, daughter that are past this, whatever. But oh, we never stop, especially the character, and especially pointing them to the Word, particularly the gospel. Help us to be faithful. Our success is faithfulness. It's not measured by the child. It's measured by our faithfulness. So allow us to just grow in that thought of faithfulness. And thank you for grace. You've given us exactly the children that you have sovereignly ordained that we would train up in the way they ought to go. To you be the glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen.